26 degrees, WWIV. It's the day after the wedding, the big Dixon Apple Orchard wedding, and Jason Kanz is here to tell about it in First Thoughts. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to hear you today and to have survived the wedding yesterday.
I was just watching some of your address to the couple afterwards at the reception, talking about giving the background, the Celtic background on tying the knot, right?
Yeah, so there's a whole history of Celtic Christianity, which is kind of an interesting thing if people ever want to read about it. But we talked about tying the knot, and it was came from an old tradition called the hand binding ceremony, where they would bind the new couple's hand together with a piece of rope and as a symbol of their union. And so they would do that, and they called it, you know, that's where the phrase tying the knot came from. And so when you hear that's the symbol or where it came from. And so I kind of did a whole thing on Celtic practices and how it applied to the two of them, which hopefully they found as a blessing.
So it was at least a sunny day, if not overly warm.
Yeah, well, we did the wedding outside, out of Dixon's, which is a beautiful place. If any of you have ever been there, they also sell apples and whatnot, and it's just a neat place. But so the ceremony was at 3 o'clock, and I think it was 43 degrees at the time of the wedding.
Yeah.
And Perry Polnazic, both our mutual friend, performed the ceremony, and he actually cut his message short because John was shaking so bad, not because he was nervous, but because it was cold. So,
okay.
So it was good. A very brief ceremony, which I think was fine with all of us. So.
Hmm. Well, there you go.
But it was a good day. It was wonderful to see everybody just seemed happy, and it was good, other than my mom, who was not there and was pretty sad that she couldn't be at the wedding. And I think we were all sad she wasn't there, too.
Yeah, right. And again, pandemic-related, so many different challenges.
Right.
This is a wedding originally scheduled for May and now pushed back to October. So,
right. So, yeah.
Well, my story was not quite as cheery. I was particularly struggling with this, even still this morning. So we have 5 cars in our house now. My wife has, I mean, basically, that's just it. We have 7 people, 5 drivers, 5 cars. And so one of them was gone. 4 were in or around the driveway or garage area. Grace's 2003 car was to my right. Dawson's was angled behind me, a 2010. He's got the newest vehicle. And so my focus was on not, okay, can I back up here from where I am without hitting Dawson's? I think I can. So I manipulated around to the right, trying to gain some room to go to the left. The focus was so on not hitting Dawson's behind me that I did not at all pay attention to my front end possibly scraping the side of Grace's car. So that happened, and I feel horrible, and I'm still working through those feelings. I mean, and initially, like, is there any way? I didn't just do that. And then you go, yes, I did. Is there a way to correct that? Not really immediately. And then the only other option was humble yourself, you know? And so, anyhow.
Yeah, so I'm curious about that. You had said immediately the thought of, is there a way to correct that?
Yeah.
And I know for me, when things like that have happened, it's, is there a way to get away with this?
Yeah.
You know, without acknowledging it. And I think that's that first jump reaction that I
sure.
have.
Well, I mean, if there was a way, correct can be interpreted however you interpret it. Correct is there
right,
a way to,
right on.
To
so,
is it so minimal? But I mean,
yeah.
I scraped her, the paint scraped off on my front right in a couple of locations. And again, mine's an 05, hers is an 03. But I mean, this is her first car. She's had it for a couple months and it was not.
Right.
We had to work. So I was as humble as possible. She rightfully said, couldn't you have moved my car and moved his car? And yeah, that's a great thought. I mean, I said, yeah. Grace, hindsight's always 20/20.
So what, and you had, as we were off the air, kind of talking about that self-loathing that comes with that.
Right.
And it's interesting that an innocent mistake, right? I mean, it wasn't like you.
No, it wasn't malicious.
In doing
no,
that.
No.
How those things can stir up feelings, not just of guilt, but shame.
Sure.
And that's a.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the self-talk. We've talked about self-talk in your focus on integration, reconciliation, and wholeness. The parts of you that talk. I mean, part of me, like, how could you do that? You know, and it's just like the other part can kind of say, well, I'm capable of erring in significant ways. So,
right. Absolutely.
And then trying to give yourself mercy, going, my focus was on the car behind me. And, you know, it should have been multifaceted focus. So,
yep.
Anyhow.
And probably not the last mistake you're going to make.
Right. And I think it even had implications. Yeah, thanks for that. But, I mean, implications into even last night, where I think I had to acknowledge I was not being the best dad to one of my kids. And I felt like that was sort of the junk. Some of the junk in the trunk was still feeling bad about myself for being so stupid. So there you go. Thank you for the confessional opportunity.
Absolutely. Happy to do it. We could maybe change the name to Mark and Jason's Confessional Booth.
You know what? What starts happening, and happens already, people are still referring to it as the best 5 minutes of the day. So it's just, it's hard to stick with a name. We kind of settled on First Thoughts for now, but yeah there
I
you
like
go.
First Thoughts.
Mark and Jason confessed their latest foolishness. So. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks. All right, 6:45, WWIB. And he is a counselor comedian from the state of Michigan, and I guess he was performing even over the weekend, and he's Drew Fralick. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Good to hear you.
Good to talk to you for the first time in a couple of weeks. So you were out and about performing comedy in these COVID challenging times. How did that work?
Doing some outdoor comedy. It's a bit late in the season for outdoor comedy, I'm starting to think, you know.
A little
cold? Very cold.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was so cold, you know, I was like, this is the last one. Like,
okay.
We're wrapping it up for the year. I'm not wearing my winter coat anymore on stage, so.
right. So, how are people I'm just curious. This isn't necessarily humor. Mm-hmm. I mean, this isn't humor, but I'm just, this is the one and only time I talk to somebody from Michigan every week. So Gretchen Whitmer, 14 people, including some Wisconsinites. There's a guy named Higgins. He's going to be in court in Columbia County today. He was a part of this plot to kidnap and, I mean, murder? The governor of Michigan? I mean, how are people reacting in Michigan on this?
I think that it was somewhere between shock, disbelief, and stunned, maybe something like that.
Yeah, sure.
Like, half the people were like, wow, this is 2020 is really, just when you think it can't get any weirder,
then
it kind of does. And then the other half of the people were like, is this like an Onion article? Like, is this even real? It's just, like, too bizarre. I think that there was they weren't going to murder her. It was they were going to put her on trial.
Oh.
So,
okay.
I don't know.
Okay, Well, let's close on a positive note here. Legendary Minnesota journalist Sid Hartman passing away at the age of 100 yesterday. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. His son, Chad, also a broadcaster, he gives the story. He says, according to the Star Tribune, Sid Hartman began selling papers in 1928, dropped out of Minneapolis North High School to take a job with the paper in 1936, and he stayed on the job for the next 84 years. Wow. I mean, he wrote an article, I guess, yesterday previewing the Vikings and Falcons at age 100.
Can you imagine still doing your job at 100?
You know, broadcasting is one, though. Broadcasting, Mabel Louise Stewart, our owner, is on the air with a Bible study twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays at 11:15. And she's going to be 98 in December.
Wow.
So, I mean, you can look at Paul Harvey or Mike Wallace. I mean, Barbara Walters. I mean, she went, into her 80s.
The owner of the Lions is 115, I believe.
Well, he's old, but I don't know. Hey, yesterday, a rare day, the Lions win, the Packers lose, so relish that.
Yeah, it's one step further into mediocrity for us. I'm looking forward to that.
Now, I don't know about your career of counseling in terms of the older you get if you're 93 and you're I'm
still out there giving advice.
Right. But, I mean, I think George Burns was a classic in terms of staying old and still doing comedy, you know?
Oh, yes. Yeah. There's actually a lady that we performed with when I was over in China. In Vietnam, we performed with this lady. And she, her name is Ruth something, I can't remember. And her tagline is she's the oldest comic, the oldest touring comic in the world.
Huh.
She's like in her late 80s.
Yeah.
She travels around the world doing tours all over Asia, Myanmar, Vietnam and stuff. And she gets up there and it was kind of cool to watch. She started doing comedy in like the 1940s or 50s.
Okay, wow.
So I have met the oldest comic apparently in the
yeah,
world.
Yeah, I guess so. So I'm trying to think. I remember back in the day. So Ruth Buzzy was is one Ruth that comes to mind. I don't know that that's mm-hmm. her. But yeah, you know, I think doing what you love as long as you can, right? I mean, I think that's
right.
One of the secrets to longevity, I would imagine.
As long as you physically can, yeah.
Yeah, so.
And counseling, you know, maybe mentally you can't do it anymore, but physically you still can. Then it's a toss-up.
If you start nodding off in the counseling sessions and drooling, right. That's not going to be a good sign.
Right.
Thank you, Drew. We'll talk to you next
week.
All right, good stuff. How was your weekend? Well, for Packer fans, it was kind of not so good after that 10-0 lead fell apart. From the pick six on, it kind of fell apart. But, hey, for my wife and I, it was our anniversary weekend. And so Saturday was 22 years. And Facebook kind of served it up on a platter for me early on Monday morning, where they were like, or Saturday morning, they were like, hey, here's this video montage of you and your wife. And so I'm like, well, there's the pictures, and go ahead and write. And so what I said was, let's see, happy 22nd anniversary to my, and then I didn't use the indomitable. Thank you, Lori Galata, for that great word, which, again, I was looking for a adjective when Peggy was on with me recently a couple of days here on the Wib Wake Up Show. Hugh Hewitt always says he refers to his wife as the fetching Mrs. Hewitt. And so Lori helped me. She said, your wife is the indomitable one. So anyhow, look it up. She's a mighty warrior. But I didn't go with that. I went with, and there was a favorite description, and I told her later, and it was fun to say that one. I'm trying to remember the exact order now. At 56, the memory's not what it used to be. So it was my interesting? No, I know that was third. My fun, smart, endlessly interesting, beautiful wife. The most fun one of those to put was endlessly interesting. I mean, if you're going to be married to somebody, that's a lot of time together. But I love so much about my wife, Peggy. But the thing is, she's fascinating to me. I mean, she is a lifelong learner. And so just you want to have somebody you can talk to and have fun with and be interested in. And so we celebrated with food Friday night and Saturday for lunch. And even again on Saturday night, got some prime ribs at a local grocery store. And so enjoyed watching a particular show together that we're kind of getting through the pandemic with. And so we're making it. And so that was the big highlight, certainly the 22nd wedding anniversary. The low point, scraping my daughter's car. Yeah, I shared that one at 5:45. With Jason Kanz. We'll get it on the podcast. But the bottom line was, I was so focused. We got so many cars in the Halverson driveway these days. And I was, rather than move the other cars, that would have been smarter. I was so trying to avoid hitting Dawson's with the rear of my car, I blanked out the front right of my car, scraping my daughter. So that was not pleasant at all. And it is October Connect Month. We're going with the mail, but we're going with the mail you've sent us. A lot of you that are on our mailing list, we contacted you with our monthly October Connect Month information, our mailing. And Carol Stewart always includes some stationery, and a lot of you have written back. So here is some of what you're saying in about a two-minute summary with music on the way from Casting Crowns and Tasha Layton. All right, here's one from Chippewa Falls. The Safer at Home order caused my husband and myself to teach from home. God brought us closer together as a family through the outdoors. We enjoyed daily walks in the woods and four-wheeler rides. During those times, we enjoyed looking for and at God's creation, such as a doe and her fawn, a fox family, and the transformation of the woods from winter to spring to summer. So that's a good one. Thank you so much for your partner pledge. Also from Hawkins, thank you for all that you're doing. WWIB has been a part of my life for many years. Love the music and programming. And there's a listener in Hawkins, Ladysmith Hawkins area. Here's some folks from Phillips way up north. Thank you for the hope and encouragement that you bring us each day. And thank you to them, and they make a contribution. Meanwhile, also in Dorchester, a couple says, thank you for always being there. In those uncertain times, it's nice to know that you're there 24/7. Enjoy the morning show and numerous others. Paul and Betsy and Rod and company as they go through the day. So thank you to that listener in Dorchester. How about in Medford? Thank you for your ministry. Glad to be a partner. And they make it's a sizable gift, $200. So thank you so much to those folks. Greatly appreciated. In Cumberland, thank you for making me smile and keeping our thoughts Christ-centered as I listen on my way to work every morning and on my way home in the afternoon. This new normal can be challenging at times, but remembering our Lord is all-knowing, and we just need to trust in Him. Thank you for all you do. A listener in Cumberland. My wife and I were supposed to be at Cumberland on behalf of Teamwork Africa yesterday at Northern Lakes Community Church, and that one didn't work out, unfortunately, but hopefully another time. And then finally, from Boyd, a listener says, thank you for keeping us going as we listen to Mom's radio station. And they talk about maybe some marital challenges along the way, but doing better maritally now, and we're glad we celebrate along with them. So there you go. We've heard from a number of different folks throughout the WIB listening area. How about from you? Have you connected with us yet? Please do. 2396 Halley Road, Chippewa Falls, 54729. Maybe you got that October Connect Month mailing. Respond back. Or if you're not on the mailing list, drop us a line. Text message always welcome on Facebook. Anyhow, just let us know you're there as we communicate with you 24/7, 366.